door. You can wag your...
All right.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Trouble falling asleep. In this video, you will learn how to fall asleep in 2 minutes. It's quite common these days to struggle going into dreamland once you lie in bed at night. Depriving your body of sleep during nighttime can result in numerous health imbalances. You find it difficult to concentrate on daily tasks, and you become irritable as you're on a constant emotional roller coaster ride. But you're not the only one fighting this battle. And this new technique you'll learn about in this video might help you become friends with sleeping well. US military forces have been using this method for a while now, and they claim that it helps you fall asleep in as little as 2 minutes. It's vital for soldiers to get a good rest so that they're efficient in their tasks. As a matter of fact, it seems that during World War II, many soldiers made crucial mistakes as a result of sleep deprivation. However, a new and helpful technique was presented to them, which made falling asleep easy, no matter what the environment. In less than 2 minutes, day or night, troops are easily falling asleep so that they get enough rest for their bodies. Before putting into practice this technique, there are several aspects to keep in mind. We're not in the military, so you can improve your chances to get a good rest through preparing your environment. First off, make sure your bedroom has no light or noise that might disturb your rest. If you're not comfortable with a completely dark room, you can use a low-intensity red light. This light is ideal for evenings because it prepares your system for sleep without altering your internal clock like blue light does. Another critical aspect to take care of, especially if you're really struggling with falling asleep, is your room's temperature. Ensure an appropriate one, not too high, but not too low either. 18 degrees Celsius should be a comfortable sleeping temperature. So now that you've prepared your room, it's time to fall asleep. Lie in bed in your most comfortable pajamas and start breathing slowly and deeply. Feel the muscles in your face relaxing. Remove any tension in your forehead, jaw, and around your eyes. You can do this easier if you lie on your back, as this helps your head, neck, and spine to rest in a neutral position. Feel your body relaxed and soft. Drop your shoulders as low as possible. Move forward with loosening the upper and lower arm on one side, and then the other. Breathe in deeply, and exhale slowly to help your upper body relax. Remove any tension from your legs, starting from your thighs and going to your lower legs. After 10 seconds of relaxing your whole body, it's time to clear your mind. Picture yourself lying in a canoe on the most serene lake beneath the blue sky. Hear the gentle sounds of nature. If you're not afraid of darkness, you can imagine yourself in a black velvet hammock, in a completely dark room. Feel the warmth and comfort. Another way is to tell yourself for 10 whole seconds, don't think, don't think, don't think, over and over again. Completely relaxed, with a calm and empty mind, you're now ready to fall asleep.
Welcome, Montreal. You're listening to Easy Sonic Living on CKUT 90.3.
Yeah, and tonight we're going to explore the world of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping, dreaming, nightmares.
Not sleeping.
Insomnia. Mm.
Yeah. And we're going to be also speaking with Dana McLeod, a Montreal-based artist. She did a video installation at the Phi Center called Restless, in which she actually filmed herself with video surveillance cameras. She filmed herself sleeping over the course of several months. So we're going to hear about that and what she found out about sleep, what she has to say.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
My name is Dana McLeod, and I am a video performance artist. I live and work in Montreal, or Tokachage. I'm a middle-aging queer woman who uses those identity markers and the body a lot in my work and try to introduce a little bit of humor in there as a way to connect with audiences. Beginning of the pandemic, I did a residency at the Phi Center, a 60-day remote residency, in April, May of 2020. And basically, I recorded myself and my girlfriend sleeping for 60 days. For this project, I kind of knew, because I'd done some tests before, what I wanted to produce, which was an installation, a video installation. And basically made, I guess, a highlight reel from every night. So every morning I would wake up and go through the footage, about, you know, depending on how long I slept, you know, anywhere from like 7 to 4 hours, if depending on how well that went. And just would scan through the footage and take each, you know, anywhere from like, say, a couple seconds to 30 seconds to 45 seconds of that kind of shot where I had an event or an outburst. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of cut them all together in sort of a best of reel. And the installation right now, that it's a loop, is about 16 minutes. And it covers a month and a half from 2020. I've always had night terrors. I've always had sleep disturbances, you know, walking, talking. And I didn't really realize the extent of what was happening until I started doing these recordings. I have about 2 to 7 events per night. So anything from like kind of getting up gasping, talking, a little bit of walking, checking under the bed for things, but also some elaborate arm choreography. And I don't know where that's come from, but that was kind of an interesting discovery, that I'm doing all of these sort of like, you know, raising my arms up in the bed. It looks like I'm kind of doing a stopping sign with my hand. And then the challenge, of course, was, well, we're in a pandemic. In an ideal world, this is shown in a gallery and as a projection people can encounter. But because we were online, and then the exhibition itself was online as well, how do you show that? At the Phi Center, we had a, you know, in real life exhibition that was different configurations of these sort of sleep outbursts. You know, there's one that I find fairly traumatic, but I think it's because, you know, I did it. I woke up screaming. That's sort of, I guess, kind of the climax of the loop. And it's funny, right? Especially, you know, in our social media digital age, where there is an amount of censorship from algorithms, or this content does not meet our community standards. And I don't know if it's that influence, but it's like, do I put a warning on this?
Yeah.
But then, you know, is that also act as an enticement? Because it's interesting, like whenever I see that particular footage, I wouldn't go so far as to say, oh, it triggers me, but I certainly feel it in my body and remember, you know, that kind of trauma, whether it's that specific night or, you know, many of the other nights that's, you know, since and before that, that's, that I've experienced that.
Sleep. We all do it. But why?
Sleep remains one of those remarkable puzzles. We've known the functions of eating, drinking, and reproducing for thousands of years. However, the sleep remains a mystery.
Why do some people ruminate all night and other people, they see the pillow, they're gone?
Cutting-edge research is now giving us a new view inside the sleeping brain.
How can we boost and enhance sleep quality, sleep quantity? It's really, right now, the tip of the iceberg.
If you've ever thought of sleep as a waste of time, think again.
The more we learn about sleep, the more we realize we can't dismiss it.
Getting a good night's sleep is possibly the single most important thing you can do every day.
Many people think that when we sleep, we are unconscious, so the brain is sort of shut off. But the more we explore it, the more it's
just as active when we're asleep as when we're awake. It's just active in different ways.
You're not either aware or not aware, you're either not conscious or unconscious. It's a whole spectrum.
So what exactly is sleep?
I thought that we should explore sleep because I've been sleeping badly.
Mm.
And I've been talking to a lot of people who have also been sleeping badly.
Yeah.
Like, unusually for them. They don't usually sleep badly and now they're having trouble.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did you get to the bottom of why that might be?
I mean, I think that there's all kinds of reasons to feel anxious right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. Pandemic.
Climate change.
Yeah, just like the state of world politics and like the higher level of craziness.
Is that what's keeping you up at night, would you say?
It's probably more like personal stuff. Like, I had some money troubles for a bit that was making me nervous. And I don't know, I think there's some health issues too.
Yeah, I've been sleeping not that great because I keep falling asleep with the light on. And that's irritating when it's like 2 in the morning and you wake up and it's bright light in there.
Mm.
And why do we need it? One thing that is for certain, when it comes to sleep, you've got a lot of company.
What we're fast learning is that sleep isn't a luxury. Sleep is a biological necessity.
I find it fascinating because every animal sleeps. Every animal that we've studied, from worms to jellyfish to sea slugs, even the octopus, whose genome is so different from our own, they sleep about as much time as we do.
Sleep is one of the most essential elements of life. Actually, sleep and life evolve hand in hand.
Evolution has come up with a variety of ways to get some shut-eye.
Some animals are vulnerable. But
can you say, why did you decide to do this? Exactly? Like, why sleep?
Oh.
Like, why were you like, well, I'm going to record myself sleeping?
Yeah, why do we make the things we make? That's a good question. I mean, I guess I don't know about you now that we're in this long haul pandemic, but certainly it was work that I was looking into just because of my relationship to sleep. So I started this project because of my bad relationship to sleep.
Okay, you don't sleep well. Is that what you're saying? You don't sleep that well?
I do not, Carolyn, I do not sleep well.
That's what I wanted to get at, because I'm not sleeping well. Everybody's sleeping really badly these days. It seems like, I mean, obviously not everybody, but it seems like a lot of people are losing sleep.
Yeah, and certainly, so pre-pandemic, I've had, you know, these sleep disturbances my whole life. And it was certainly something I wanted to look at, and really bought a surveillance camera, you know, for $50 or whatever. And just to kind of testing out the camera. And, you know, I wanted to see, how it would work and what the image quality would look like. And so I did just start kind of messing around. And then when the pandemic hit, I was certainly interested in tracking or seeing if there was a difference between pre-pandemic bad sleep for me And in the middle of the pandemic, sleep for me, or what was mm-hmm. at the beginning at that time. And also, you know, the context of this residency and this work was certainly COVID, you know? And for me, I was like, but I've always slept badly. So this kind of pull that this didn't just happen because of the pandemic. It's more stress related from what I understand. But also everybody sleeps. And I thought in terms of this, you know, recording myself, people could see perhaps either see themselves in the work, or if they're sleeping with somebody, see a partner in the work. And but also this, you know, the voyeuristic frame does something as well, because, you know, like you, not sleeping well during the pandemic, but also having friends that are not sleeping well or have a total insomnia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other conversations that I'm having certainly are about dreams. Like, what is happening in these dreamscapes? Really much more vivid than pre-pandemic, but also a lot of, I don't know if you get this, but are people wearing masks in the dream? I've had a lot of mask anxiety dreams that I go to a space and no one's wearing a mask, or I'm not, I've been caught without a mask. Mm. Or that I'm out for dinner or at a club or something, and everyone knows they're supposed to be wearing a mask, but no one is. Sorry, I'm talking about dreams. I'm not even talking about.
Yeah. No, it makes sense to have that kind of fear, right?
And anxiety that you're doing, because usually in my dreams there's a machine that I don't know how to use. And I have to figure it out, or everyone will die.
Right.
And so there's that, right? You know, normal stuff.
Yeah.
And then that anxiety, kind of coupled with the pandemic, I think, you know, what was in the news and certainly what I've been feeling, contributed to the why. Why record yourself sleeping? But also, I know that I act out, and like, what does that look like? How do you shoot that? What do I wear for pajamas? But also interested in non-sexual representations of me and my girlfriend, like queer coupling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not doing it in this video.
Yeah.
In this video footage, like, we're just sleeping, you know? And sometimes she wakes up, and when I'm freaking out and kind of, like, calms me down or whatever... Mm-hmm. And there's one funny clip where she, I guess I'm a bit of a bed hog, so she like gets up to check to see how much space I have on my side of the bed. She's like, what is happening here?
Yeah, I mean, for a while now, I've been waking up super early. So that's like been for a couple of months. I just like wake up at 5 or... maybe 6, but usually 5 or 5:30, and I can't go back to sleep. So I just get up and I start my day. But then, like, more recently, I was waking up at 3 or 2 and couldn't sleep. So that was no good, because there was no way I was going to start my day at 3 a.m.
We're going to listen to a part of a description of different states of human consciousness, and one of them is called the watch. And it's that part of the nighttime, like when you wake up in the middle of the night. That used to be apparently much more common and accepted in medieval times. They had two sleeps. They'd have the early sleep and the late sleep.
Okay.
And people would get up at like 1 a.m. and go visit each other and then go back to bed. Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. But now we have much more of a view of sleep that it has to be like 8 hours uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sounds like you are like having difficulty in the middle of the night, but for some people it might just be natural that our natural rhythm is to like wake up and have a couple hours of consciousness and then go back to bed.
Because when we're little, right, like babies have like a completely different sleep cycle than grown-ups, right?
Completely, yeah.
Like they sleep for a couple hours, they wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if people go to bed, like, you know, if you're not like staring at your computer all night, like if you go to bed like when the sun goes down, like you're going to bed at like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to sleep until 8 or 9 the next morning. Like,
yeah.
It's too long.
Unless you've worked really hard all day, you know?
Yeah. In the fields. Yeah.
Yeah, in the fields. Or the mines.
In the fields of Montreal.
Or the factories, yeah.
Just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
j'ai bien dormi. Je vais aller me servir un petit café.
I want you to think of thinking as being like on a train. Ordinarily in waking, we move along a pretty straight linear track.
Right.
However,
après le café, oula. Ah, j'ai quelques rapports à finir.
J'ai bien dormi. Midi. C'est la bonne heure. Allez, je veux un peu travailler, un peu de peinture.
Oh, encore ce téléphone. Ouais. Ok, je suis sur le coup là. Je m'en occupe, ça va. Ok, allez, à plus.
Oh, j'adore mon métier. Wow, je suis douée. Je commence à avoir faim. Qu'est-ce qu'il y a dans le frigo?
J'ai bien faim.
Melted cheese to the wall without so much as a raised internal eyebrow.
What if rocks disappear?
No problem. And some is as strong as a rock.
Oh, some. Firstly, if rocks disappeared, many buildings as well as bridges which are built with rocks will also disappear. Secondly, if rocks disappeared, marble sculptures will also disappear.
Oh, je suis crevé.
Thirdly, if rocks disappeared, gemstones will also disappear.
Je veux regarder ce qu'il y a là.
The slow wave is like being in a bed in the bottom of the ocean. It's the deepest stage of sleep that we enter into mostly in the first half of the night, and very little in the way of mentation seems to be going on when sleep scientists wake people up then.
Anything going on?
Well, literally, you know, a vaguely remembered to-do list. However, some people report full-blown dreams.
Ah, j'adore cette émission.
Flash info.
Nous interrompons votre série toute pourrie pour un flash info de dernière minute. Nous retrouvons Georgette Bichot, notre journaliste, qui est en direct sur place.
Oui, Jean-Marc Léjoie, je suis en direct. L'immeuble est rongé par les flammes.
Oh, les pauvres gens.
C'est vraiment triste. De s'écrouler.
Un incendie énormissime est déclaré rue Jean-Paul Jacques dans le 18e arrondissement.
Mais c'est chez moi, c'est mon immeuble.
Aïe.
Allez, go. Qu'est-ce que je fais? Qu'est-ce que je sauve? Oh non, j'ai pas le temps. Non, dites-ju, on va tous crever. Juste ma bouffe. Tout le monde est déjà parti. Non, mais pas lui.
Debout, réveillez-vous.
Mais quoi?
Il y a le feu. Mais debout,
mais
bon sang.
Quoi? Mais que faites-vous chez moi?
Faut absolument partir, il y a le feu dans l'immeuble.
Mais vous êtes sûr? Il y a feu là, ici?
Allez, go, à l'ascenseur.
Oui, c'est bon, ça va, j'arrive.
Oui.
T'appuies ou j'appuie?
Ou j'appuie?
Non,
mais.
Tu m'as touché! Je suis tout. Mais c'est quoi ça?
Qu'est-ce que c'était?
Tu crois que ça vient d'en haut?
C'était qu'un cauchemar.
Oh, c'était qu'un mauvais rêve.
Allez, une bonne tasse de café.
Oh, il est beaucoup trop tôt.
Flash info! Un flash info de dernière minute. Un incendie énormissime est déclaré rue Jean-Paul Jacques dans le 18e arrondissement.
Short, we forget them. There's really intriguing scientific and historical evidence to suggest we were once awake for much longer in the night.
Wow.
And it's a very interesting state to be awakened because high amounts of a hormone called prolactin kind of percolate through the brain. So we're in a kind of state of relaxed, meditative calm. Welcome to the wash. Very relaxing.
When we enter natural rest and sleep cycles, there is a whole network of intelligence that comes alive, just shimmering under the surface of things, often obscured through waking consciousness. This kind of intelligence is not something you need to think about. Allow thinking to dissolve into sensing, feeling, and being. This practice is also intended to help you to welcome the healing powers of natural darkness. Our nervous system, in fact, our whole ecosystem, needs natural darkness to turn on all the beautiful built-in quieting and healing responses available to us. Yet we live in a time of addiction to junk light, many of us overstimulated, anxious, inflamed, our sensitive biorhythms literally brainwashed into thinking we should always be awake, and that it's not safe to rest.
I'm interested in disturbed sleep, like sleepwalking, sleep talking. What do you do? What happens to you in your sleep?
Yeah, I mean, over the years, you know, like I said, as a kid, I totally slept, walked, and talked. And, you know, my parents sort of corralled that to make sure I you know, one time I made it to, like, out the door to the end of the driveway in the middle of the night in Edmonton in the winter. I guess I had put on shoes and a winter coat, but my, you know, my dad come out to grab me and to stop me. And there's always a kind of a debrief the next day. And he was like, yeah, you wanted to take the bus. And it was a Saturday. And so that's how he got me back in the house, because he's like, it's Saturday, it's Saturday. And I was like, no, I have to take the bus. And he was like, I'll drive you, come back to bed, right? And I remember at that time, I'm not great with directions. So in my life, I have lots of stories of getting on the wrong bus, and I was certainly worried about that as a teenager, you know, going to school, like getting on the wrong bus or not making the bus or missing for the bus or running for the bus. Oh, my goodness. But so stress is usually related to, you know, the hows and the whys. One of the things that I find super interesting is that, like, it's kind of a mid-state between sleep and wake, is that, like, I will wake up standing in another room and really trying to hold on to whatever the dream or the narrative or whatever the hell it was that I was trying to sort out. Again, there's usually this machine that I need to fix.
That's so funny.
What was interesting was, because my thing is always trying to fix the machine, what happens is the stuff in the room, in real life, becomes things. And so, you know, we have a TV in our bedroom, and so there's a red light on it. And so that red light becomes, like, the machine. You know, so sometimes I'm waking up, like, touching the TV. Mm. One of the ones that's in the cut, in the installation, is, you know, like, what I am worried about is, like, I pick up my phone. Like, I'm just like,
oh. You're worried you're going to call someone in your sleep?
Yeah, and that happened when I was in art school, or like, 1,000 years ago, is I called someone, you know, on an old rotary. Like, I don't even know how I would get the number, but anyway. And so, by introducing the surveillance camera that is basically a red light, right, for night vision, like some of the footages, I'm like waking up, kind of like looking at it, trying to touch it or whatever. And so the project starts to impact and affect my sleep. And by, you know, the cameras being right there, you know, I got to get up and check things. Like, there's a lot of, you know, me turning the flashlight on my phone, or I have a little light on the phone to, like, look to see what's going on, checking the hallway. You know, there's a looming figure. I think that's a pretty common one for women, too. Like, there's a rapist at the window, or that there's, like, a man who will hurt you at the end of the bed. Yeah, you know, the generic stuff.
So what exactly is happening inside our brains when we sleep?
We really entered a different world once we're asleep. I actually think that the whole night is a really magical event.
With the help of volunteers like 5-year-old Jamie Lopez, sleep researcher Rebecca Spencer gathers clues to how this magical event unfolds.
Study sleep, we equipped Jamie with a sleep cap with an array of electrodes to record brain activity.
The way our brain supports everything that it does, from controlling our body to regulating emotion, having memories, is through the electrical activity of neurons. These are brain cells connected to one another via these tiny passages that are called synapses. One neuron emits a neurochemical called a neurotransmitter to this passage, and it's picked up by the next neuron, much like passing the baton in the Olympics.
This signal, passed from neuron to neuron, can be picked up by the electrodes in Jamie's cap. With one of the most powerful tools in a sleep researcher's toolbox, the EEG, the electroencephalogram.
What this screen is showing is the recordings from each of those electrodes in the cap that we put on Jamie. Right now, in wake, for instance, you can see the brain waves here.
The vertical lines on the chart represent 5 seconds of Jamie's sleep.
What's important is that as you get drowsy, those waves slow down and become what we call alpha waves.
And as the sleep gets deeper, the waves become slower and slower. And in the deepest parts of sleep, activities dominated by slow waves, these massive waves occurring across the brain that are like a tsunami.
It's almost like a football stadium, where all of the individuals in the stadium before the game are all sort of speaking to each other at different moments, at different times. That's what seems to happen when you're awake. But when you go into the deepest stages of sleep, all of a sudden, the crowd starts to synchronize its activity. They all start to chant in time.
So you sleep fairly well?
Yeah.
Generally?
Normally, yeah.
Normally. I usually do too. I don't sleepwalk. I don't sleep talk. Do you do any of that stuff?
I used to have sleep paralysis, which is the opposite. It's when you wake up but your body hasn't woken up yet.
Okay.
So that's not a very pleasant feeling.
So, but what happens? You wake up and you can't move?
Yeah, you're just paralyzed in bed. You're just like, this is not cool. And then...
And what, like, does it just go away after a little while? Or?
I think, I'm trying to remember. It goes away. You feel like you're in a strange state. You don't feel like you're fully awake. But you're definitely looking around. And then you can't be totally paralyzed because you could still move your eyes around. But you can't, you couldn't, like, get up.
Wow.
And then eventually I think I could force myself to move, but it might take like 15 or 20 minutes of just having sleep paralysis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that, actually.
Yeah. It's like the same as sleepwalking, but the inverse.
Okay.
It's like the sleepwalking is like, because there's like a gateway in your brain that keeps you from getting up and walking around at night. And so that's exactly what sleepwalking is. That gateway's broken.
Right.
But then if the gateway's too strong, you can wake up, but your body can't move. So it's the same as sleepwalking.
When I look up from my pillow, I dream you are there with me. Though you are far away, I know you'll always be near to me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I look around me and feel you are ever so close. To me, each tear that falls from my eyes brings back memories of you. To me, I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I'm strong, I'm proud, I'll love you till the day I die. You alone and no one else, you were meant for me. When morning comes once more, I have the loneliness you left me. Each day drags by until finally time descends on me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me.
What kind of nightmares do you have, like, as opposed to stress dreams, let's say? Or are they the same thing?
Yeah, I think that there's some overlap there. I don't know that I could separate out stress dreams from nightmares, because it is just so terrifying.
If like, it's terrifying, I guess it's a nightmare, right?
Isn't that? I don't know what the definition is, but it's like something scary, right?
Yeah, like waking up screaming or something, you know, like certainly in my 20s and into my 30s, you know, that, and again, I think this is a common one, feeling like there's someone pressing down on your chest or sitting on your chest or holding you down or feeling paralyzed in terms of, you know, you cannot lift your head, you cannot lift your arms, you cannot lift your legs. And then kind of doing some work on that, I guess. And by that, I mean, you know, doing some lucid dreams or being able to enter that. I don't do that anymore, but like.
You used to do lucid dreaming?
Yeah. Well, to be able to, like, I guess kind of, I don't know what the right terminology is, but it's like, are you, you know, kind of guided or, and really for me, what that meant was giving myself a little pep talk. I still do that, you know, but of like, my pep talk now is, that's the television, that's a light, everything is fine. I don't have to get up in the middle of the night to do a thing, to go do a thing. Is there something, you write, like, it's urgent, it's always urgent. And in my 20s and 30s, you know, with these like looming figures, there would be a man in the other room, there would be a man in my bedroom, there'd be a man on the bed, there would be a man pressing down on me, you know.
Oh my god.
And it got pretty bad. So just, you know, sort of backtracking a bit of how to deal with that was certainly, there is no man. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. But also, what I mean by kind of navigating that is, well, talk to them. You know, talk to, you know, so what do you want was a good one. And so if I could train myself to say, what do you want when they appeared? Then they left.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds super like hokey, but
no,
that's,
no, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you.
I guess the most interesting thing for me about sleep is the dream state.
The dream state is really interesting. Yeah. I used to lucid dream at some point. Yeah. Yeah, you can train yourself to lucid dream. So I took a real interest in it, and I did exercises, and then I was able to do it.
So what kind of exercises can you do?
One thing you do is you try to always, while you're awake, you try to check to see if you're dreaming. So you, like, you might try to turn on and off the lights, you know? Because that's one thing, when you're dreaming, there's a few things about dreams that are always similar across cultures.
Okay.
One of them is it's very hard to use any kind of technological device.
Okay.
So if you're ever, like, somewhere and you suddenly can't use your phone, you're probably dreaming. So that's, like, because you're trying to, like, find little cues to trigger your mind into realizing that you're dreaming and remembering them.
Oh, okay.
So even if you're, like, in a street and there's, like, elephants dancing and, you know, there's a jello pool somewhere, you might not notice that you're dreaming, but then you might remember you're dreaming when suddenly you realize that, like, you can't take a picture of it because your phone's not.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I must be dreaming. Oh, and then, okay. And then you realize you're dreaming and then you're...
So you would consciously, in your sleep, try to check if you were sleeping? Like, if you were dreaming?
Then you try to remember while you're waking.
When you're awake, you check to see if you're awake. Like, he's like, okay, check. I can use my phone. Check. Yeah. I know how to turn the lights off. I know how to turn the computer on.
Yeah.
I'm awake.
Yeah.
And somehow when you sleep, then...
As a habit, you're still doing that. Like, because you have the habit in the daytime, so then at night you'll continue doing that.
Okay.
You don't have to do it. Like, I mean, even just thinking about that, and you don't have to actually go and try to look at your phone, but you can think, can I use my phone? And then you're like, oh, yeah, of course I can use my phone.
Okay. So then once you're in the dream state...
It's a trigger that makes you realize you're dreaming, and then you know you're dreaming.
And then you can, like, what, you have more control over your dream, or...
You can interact with your dream. It's really helpful if you find yourself in a scary dream, because suddenly you know it's just a dream.
Okay.
So that's really helpful.
Okay.
Some people get really good at it, and they can manipulate their dream and do different things.
Hmm.
I would usually just... I stopped doing it because it wasn't that fun once I realized I was in my dream, because it kind of lost the fantastical element.
Mm.
And I'd spend all my time trying to tell the other people in my dream that I was dreaming, and that's really boring. I'd go from having these really cool dreams that I was totally engrossed in into having these kind of irritating dreams where I'm kind of arguing with other elements of my psyche.
You're like, you know this is just a dream. Right?
I know, I'm like one of those irritating people in my own mind. And that's actually why I stopped doing something. I thought I could fly. I remember one time I really was like, oh, I can fly now. And I got like an inch or something off the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really not worth it, the effort I'm putting in to just cover.
I mean, it's interesting when you're asking, well, what are the nightmares, and different than, say, stress. And it's helpful to think about as the sleeper, because, like, I really dream richly. Like, there's whole movies going on, you know, with a whole cast of characters. But those aren't nightmares. Those are just, you know, dreams. But I'm still, if you review the footage, I'm still, like, acting out in terms of doing arm movements or stretches or talking or whatever. But nightmares, for me, are really tied to, someone has been murdered. I will be murdered. Like, pretty high-stakes dreams. Or that it's my fault that someone got murdered. There was one that was happening that happens every once in a while. And it's changed, like, someone has left me in charge of their cat or their dog or their baby. And in the dream, I wake up in a panic because I have forgotten to go feed the cat or the baby.
Yeah, I've had those dreams.
And sometimes it's like 3 days But sometimes it's like a month and surely that they're dead, right?
Yes.
And trying to like undo that, and like lots of running through the streets trying to undo, you know, this negligence. But right, that's too late. They're already dead or something.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really scary. Like, it's just so much anxiety. And what I really hate about my sleep patterns is that in my dream, I wake up in the dream. You know? So I think I'm awake. That's
really tricky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that like, it'd be something, you know, really wacky. That's kind of obviously a dream. But then in the dream, I wake up. Not really awake.
Wow.
And then that's where things get, you know, weird. And
it's like you're playing tricks on yourself.
Yeah. My subconscious would be an asshole.
It's like, still a dream.
It's like a dream. So, this is a dream diary from Saturday, July 18th, 2020.
Okay.
And I was having this really epic series of dreams where there was like really elaborate soundtracks and multi-level plots. So this one starts, again, so elaborate with the musical soundtrack and everything. There was cocaine I needed to get rid of because it was attracting two bad guys. I had to go through this warehouse to get rid of it. And my sister was there too. I entered the warehouse and was looking for the freight elevator to get to the right floor and stopped to ask a woman in blue coveralls who had to ask a man in blue coveralls where I should go. They had great hair that seemed to sparkle and shimmer. They had knowing looks between each other, which I only recognized in hindsight. They told me where to go and on my way to find the wooden table with the cocaine on it and to throw off the two bad guys who may or may not have been mafiosos. It turned into a horror escape scenario and it wasn't clear if it was a game or not. It was really gory with half bodies lying around by the end who had been eaten by various giant monsters, one of which was a giant smush-faced blonde woman with a ponytail and a mean scowl who kept picking up people and biting their heads off. I think there were two of these giants. There was also this music video that started the whole transition to horror. I was showing my dad a video, and I think it was Andy Samberg doing a rock parody that I had seen before, but when I showed it to my dad, it became a live version, so like a video game, and someone else was playing against him by taking his place. Like a jump cut head flick from Samberg to Terry Crews. They had electric guitars and were really giving her. And this is when the ramp started and they grew really big and people were screaming in excitement at first, but then were screaming because they were getting murdered. I didn't get to the cocaine, but thought I could really use some right now because I was so scared. I gave up on that quest and tried to work my way back to the freight elevator while two giant Karens killed people and scowled with their smushed faces. I felt like I was going in circles and couldn't find the right spot. I stepped into a vestibule that seemed like it might have an elevator, and the two overall people from before were there and smiled wryly at me. I turned to run because it was then that I knew that they were working for the game.
Thank you very much to Dana McLeod for taking the time to speak to us about her restless
video installation. You can find out more about that and her work at danarama.com.
Well, thanks for listening in. Hope you don't have any strange dreams tonight. Or maybe I do hope you have some strange dreams.
Yeah.
Just not really scary ones.
I hope you have, like, really fascinating dreams that don't freak you out. This has been Easy Sonic Living, the sweep episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet dreams all.
Close your eyes and you will see micro flashing neon lights open your eyes and you will see it still looks to fast.